The word of God given to us today is Jonah 1, 1 through 3, page 1287 of the Old Testament. Allow me to read the words. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Last Sunday, Reverend Lida Cho introduced me in great detail, and I feel a bit self-conscious. He even talked about my grades at the seminar we attended. It is true that I was one of the top students, but I am not sure if I was in the top three. After we graduated, more than 1,000 graduates took the qualification exam for pastoral ordination. And the entire school was awed when Reverend Lee received the highest scores among all applicants. He revealed my grades, so I will reveal his grades. Reverend Lee was the oldest among us, and he received the highest scores. So the younger fellow students were a bit embarrassed, and the entire school was awed. No matter how good your grades were when you started, the grades you get upon graduation are more important. Your finish should be better than your start, and so it is with faith. The first part of your life is important, but your faith should be getting deeper and more beautiful with time. Reverend Lee based his sermons on the Gospel of John in order at the Presbyterian Church of the Lord, where he started his pastoral ministry. And now at our church, he is going over the book of Acts in order. Sequence preaching was a concept introduced by Reverend Lee to Korean churches, and it has brought a refreshing change. A lot of churches are now applying this sequence of preaching. A lot of pastors are preaching in series based on the sequence of the passage in the Bible. In our church, along with Reverend Lee's sermons on the book of Acts, we have Reverend Jung Han-jo's sermons on the book of Revelations. As for me, I thought that I would go with the Old Testament. I decided on the book of Jonah because, although it's short, it has a clear message of the gospel and evangelism. So I will be sequence preaching based on the book of Jonah. What do you first think of when you hear the name Jonah? The man who was swallowed by a great fish. The man who disobeyed a command and ran away. The prophet who complained a lot and who was fickle-minded. We tend to see Jonah as an amusing story character. But Jesus' teaching and evaluation on Jonah were very different. In the Gospels, Jesus mentions 15 names from the Old Testament. Only three of these are prophets: Elijah, Daniel, and Jonah. Among the three, Jesus mentions Jonah the most. Jesus talks about Jonah in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 40. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. But he answered them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the teaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. According to what Jesus said about Jonah, the sign of Jonah is the sign of Jesus. And the preaching of Jonah is a symbol for the salvation of Jesus. Jonah is a short book with only 4 chapters, but it plays an important role in that it projects the focus of the entire Old Testament onto the Messiah, Jesus. So, what kind of a person was Jonah? Jonah appears in 2 Kings as a prophet from Gath-Hepher. The meaning of the name Gath-Hepher is literally wine press of the digging. This was a wine-producing region with vineyards. Jonah was the son of Amittai, a name that means truthful, trustworthy. This is a name of a man that desires to live in truth and in trust. Amittai had a son, and he named him Jonah. Jonah means dove. Jonah must have been a sweet child when he was little. When Noah wanted to see if the waters had subsided from the earth after the great flood, he sent out a raven and a dove from the ark. The raven didn't return. The dove returned with a freshly plucked olive leaf in her mouth. And Jonah was able to learn the waters had subsided from this. Since then, the dove has become a symbol of peace, bringing good news. The traditions of crowning the winner of a marathon race with a laurel wreath and of releasing doves at Olympic opening ceremonies are all related to this symbolism. Jonah's father probably named him so, hoping that his son would grow up to be a dove-like person who was gentle and bringing a peace message of peace. So Jonah was born into a God-fearing household and grew up in faith and was called to become a prophet and a servant of God. Because he was faithful in his duties as a prophet, he was appointed as a prophet for King Jeroboam II. King Jeroboam II of the northern kingdom of Israel. Second Kings chapter 14, verses 25 to 27 tells of Jonah's role. He restored the borders of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from Gath-Hepher. For the Lord saw that the affliction of Israel was very bitter, for there was none left, bond or free, and there was none to help Israel. But the Lord had not said that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven. So he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Jeroboam II ruled Israel for 41 years. Generally, when one ruler has been ruling a kingdom for a long period of time, this indicates that the kingdom is at its golden age. Although it was Genghis Khan who built the Mongolian Empire, The empire's heyday was during the rule of his grandson, Kublai Khan, founder of the Yuan dynasty. Kublai had ruled for 35 years, and he ruled the biggest empire in history. Taejo Isonge, the founder of Joseon, only ruled for 6 years, but his son, King Sejong the Great, ruled for 32 years and is generally acknowledged as the greatest king in the history of Joseon. During the rule of Jeroboam II, during the second golden age of Israel, Jonah was the spiritual leader of the kingdom, helping Israel overcome a crisis, proposing policy directions, and giving advice. Jonah was most likely a very competent man who was well-versed in the affairs of the state. The rule of Jeroboam II started around 793 BC. At the time, Assyria was in political turmoil, seeing three kings rise one after another in rapid succession. Assyria rose to power in the Mesopotamia, expanding and prospering under the leadership of a great king, Shalmaneser III. After the death of the king, however, there was a power fight among the princes. The rulers were too busy with internal conflict to turn their eyes to conquer other kingdoms. To make matters worse, there was a severe drought and Assyria became impoverished. Records also show that there was a total eclipse of the sun at the time, which drove people into greater panic because they believed it was a sign of disaster. Jonah advised Jeroboam to expand the territory at this time, taking advantage of a serious situation. As a result, Israel was expanded from the entrance of Hamath to the Sea of Araba. Libo Hamath, or the entrance of Hamath, was the northernmost boundary of the kingdom during the time of Solomon. The Sea of Araba was far south into the Gulf of Aqaba, where today's Dead Sea and the Red Sea is. To the east, Damascus was reclaimed, and Israel's territory became as vast as during the days of King David. The people were happy with their rulers. The kingdom was stable, and Israel entered its second gold age. It was at this time that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 2 of Jonah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. There are three command verses given to Jonah in the word of the Lord, teaching him exactly what he must do. The first command verb is arise. The verb kum, meaning arise, is the same that appears in Isaiah chapter 60, arise, shine. Arise means more than just getting up from one's place. It means standing up in firm resolution. All humans crave stability. We are governed by inertia. Just when life is getting good and we are about to settle down, God presses on to us with new changes. The book of Acts, which records the works of the Holy Spirit, is filled with the command, arise. Arise appears many times in the book of Acts. When Philip baptized the eunuch from Ethiopia and started a chain of events that transformed a nation, the command that the Holy Spirit gave to Philip was arise. Rise, go to the south of the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. When Saul the persecutor was to be transformed into Paul the apostle, the command God gave to Ananias was rise. In Acts 9:11, Ananias, rise, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, for Saul he is praying. When the gospel, which was first restricted to the Jews at first, was spread to the Gentiles, God sent Cornelius to Peter and gave Peter this command. This is Acts 10:20. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. We shouldn't remain complacent. The Lord is calling us to arise. And when the word of the Lord comes upon our lives, we will be met with new changes and challenges. The second command verb given to Jonah was go. Arise and go. When Abraham was called to become the father of all who believed, and when the people of Israel were raised, the first command God gave them was to go to the land that he will show them. This is Genesis 12:1-3. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. The last words Jesus gave us before ascending was go. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. After resurrecting, Jesus told his disciples, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. The word, Greek word, apostolos, meaning being sent, is the word that means apostle. The Greek word can be translated in Latin to the word missio, being sent. It is from this word missio that the words mission and missionary came from. So the word mission means being sent. The Lord is sending us. It is important that we gather as one in church. We gather to receive grace. We gather to grow our faiths together and to receive consolation from one another. So we must endeavor to gather as one. But the church should not become a place we park ourselves permanently. The pastoral philosophy of our church is that the church should be a place like a gas station and not a parking lot. We should be refueled with the word and receive a new heart, new courage. But then we are to go back to the lives, to the places of our lives, and to apply and act upon the word that we have received so that the Lord's will be done in the places of our lives. So the church that gathers is important, but more important is the church that we become as we go our own ways. The Christian belief is only tested true in this world and in the everyday life. And we must live in our place, in our respective places, as the salt and the light, and offer ourselves as a fragrant sacrifice. The second command verb given to Jonah was call out. We are not to call out our own thoughts, our own philosophy, or experience. We are to call out God's word and God's heart. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. The word great, the Hebrew word gadol, means big in size, but it also means great and important. This word gadol appears in the book of Jonah 14 times. 8 times it is used to mean big in size, and 6 times to mean important. When we say the great city of Nineveh, it is used as the important city. When we say the great city of Nineveh, we think of it as a big city in size, but it is not the size or appearance of Nineveh that matters, but it's how God was seeing this city, what Nineveh meant in God's heart. Faith is not looking out in my perspective, but looking through God's eyes, through God's heart. Jonah's perspective of Nineveh and God's perspective of Nineveh were different. Jonah wanted the evil-filled Nineveh to be destroyed as soon as possible, but God took pity on the souls of the people living in Nineveh. There is not a single soul that is not important to God. There is not a sinner so big that cannot return to God. There is not a sin so evil that it is too late to come back to God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 4, it says, God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants not just the people of Israel, but the people of Nineveh and the people of Assyria to be saved, because they too were created in His image. He rejoices in their salvation as well. There are still so many people around us who have not heard the news of salvation, salvation through the cross, or people who have heard but ignore it. These people will stand before the final judgment one day, and it is our calling to be delivering them to them this gospel of life. There is an important lesson that we must heed in this story. It is that God's word came upon Jonah. This means that Jonah at least had an open communication channel with God. No matter how many times you hear the word, if you don't listen with open ears and open mind, the words are nothing but sound waves that vibrate the air. No matter how hard your circumstances, the person who hears the word will never perish. The bigger problem is when people are so successful that they don't have time to listen to the word, sitting in during sermon but not realizing that this word is the word for me. This indicates that your life could be starting a crisis. Jonah, despite his busy schedule, kept interacting with God and listening to His word. What happens when God's word comes upon our lives? God's word becomes a spiritual mirror that shows my true self. It shows my true self and reality. Hebrew chapter 4, verses 12-13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the people. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The word is a mirror that reflects ourselves, and so we see just how evil we are reflected in the word. But it is also through the word that we change ourselves to live as holy Christians. If the word mirror of word does not reflect us, we would be blinded by greed, lose our direction, and end up following the world. We live in a world of technology and mobile devices. We can access the Word of God whenever, wherever we want. We can read the Bible and even listen to it in audio form if we want. We can download the Sunday messages. Despite this flood of sermons and word, the souls of people are getting thirstier. Why is this so? The reason is that people do not accept the word as the word of God, and they choose to follow their own thoughts. Even when hearing the word, they only hear what they want to hear and use it to their own advantage. Dear fellow believers, the word I need might not necessarily be sweet. It might taste bitter. It might make me uncomfortable. But if you obey, change will happen. If you listen but don't believe, it will be no use. If you believe but don't act upon it, the word of God will not work in my life. But if you accept it with a pure heart and obey with the mind of a child, the power of the word will appear in your life. A mature faith is when you listen to the word of God, empty yourself, and fill yourself with the word of God. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2 says, "Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." So this verse shows us the characteristics of the people the Lord esteems. The first characteristic is that he is humble. He is humble and says, "Lord, speak, I will listen." The second characteristic is that he is contrite in spirit and responds to the word. The third is that he understands the weight of the word of the Lord and trembles and obeys. This is the person that the Creator Lord looks after and guides. The word of the Lord came upon a nun who was born in Yugoslavia and who was teaching geography in a school run by her sisterhood. The Lord told her to leave the comfort of her sisterhood and to take care of the poor people suffering in the streets. When she followed God's will and worked in the unfamiliar city of Kolkata in India, God was showing through her his mind towards the poor. Was it only Mother Teresa who saw the poor people abandoned in the streets of Kolkata? Was it only Mother Teresa who felt pity when she saw people lying in the streets? Many people saw them, but they just passed by. But Mother Teresa accepted in her heart the holy burden given by the word of the Lord. And she rose from her place went to the place that he sent her and served the souls that God has given her and spent her lifetime. Jonah had already been called as a prophet and serving as a prophet when God gave him a new calling. It was a calling within a calling. Most of us are already living as Christians, having been called by the Lord to become His children. God is now giving us a new calling. He is inviting us to a calling within a calling. He is inviting us to a new calling to show through our lives the grace that we have received until now. In which parts do you feel a holy burden in your daily lives? Were there moments when you felt pangs of regret and pity during your lives? It could be your family or your workplace. It could be your close neighbors or people in faraway countries. God is calling us to go to that place where we feel that holy burden. He is telling us to call out the gospel of life, to serve with Christ's heart. As of the end of last year, there were 12,024 members registered in our church. 50.2%, or 6,038 members, are young people in their teens, 20s, and 30s. Why has God called all these young people to Yanghwajin? In the weekends, many young people come to the neighborhood around our church and the neighboring Hongdae Street. How can we guide them to the path of life, to the path of salvation? I pray with mercy in my heart. I cannot help but feel a holy burden towards these young people. What do you personally feel a holy burden about? This holy burden could be God's sign towards you, coming upon you as the Word of God. All Christians should remember God's heart, which is in saving the world, the entire world, not just myself. We must participate in this mind and respond to God's Word, which comes upon us as a holy burden. The Word of God, which came upon Jonah, is the word that will come upon us upon this third Sunday of the Lent. Let us pray. Lord, you came upon Jonah in his life to give him a new calling. And today you are coming upon us in the word to give us a new calling. Arise, go, and call out. We remember your command. Help me rise from my own complacent place and realize the holy burden that you have given me. And help me be resolute. Help me live as a witness of your gospel of life in my place in life. Help me be humble. Help me be contrite in spirit. And help me respond to the word of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, Amen.